attention to God's Word tonight, the book of Joshua, please. Joshua chapter number 10 for our reading. Joshua chapter 10. John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress while he was in jail in Bedford, England. And next to the Bible, it's the most read book in the history of the world. And it describes a Christian journey to heaven. And there's a point in it where a Christian is fighting the devil. And the devil is called Apollyon, and that's a Bible name for the devil. I'll just read you a few lines here. When I was in high school, we were supposed to read a book in English, senior English. And I knew it was not a book I wanted to read. And I asked the teacher for permission to read some other book. And she encouraged me to read Pilgrim's Progress. And I had never read it. So the whole class was reading a bunch of junk, and I got to read Pilgrim's Progress and make my report on that. But anyway, it's an incredible book, and the Christians fighting the devil. Quote, Apollyon made at him, thus the devil made at Christian, throwing darts as thick as hail, by the which, notwithstanding all that Christian could do to avoid it, Apollyon wounded him in his head, his hand, and foot. This made Christian give a little back. Apollyon therefore followed his work, and Christian again took courage and resisted as manfully as he could. This sore combat lasted for above half a day, till Christian was almost quite spent, for you must know that Christian, by reason of his wounds, must needs grow weaker and weaker. Then Apollyon, espying his opportunity, began to gather up close to Christian, and wrestling with him, gave him a dreadful fall, and with that Christian's sword flew out of his hand. Then said Apollyon, I am sure of thee now, and with that he had almost pressed him to death, so that Christian began to despair of life. But as God would have it, while Apollyon was fetching of his last blow, thereby to make a full end of this good man, Christian nimbly stretched out his hand for his sword and called it, saying, Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. And with that gave him a deadly thrust, which made him give back as one that had received his mortal wound. Christian, perceiving that, made at him again, saying, Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And with that, Apollyon spread forth his dragon's wings and sped away, that Christian for a season saw him no more. That's a good description of the combat between Christian and the devil, which we all experience on a regular basis. John Bunyan was a Baptist preacher. Those words are 400 years old, but they're still very true. So let's look at God tonight as we continue to follow Captain Joshua in his mighty campaign to possess the promised land. Joshua 10 says at verse 24, And it came to pass when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, Come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. Please keep your Bible handy, and we'll think for a few moments on the subject, Five Kings in a Cave. It's very interesting to me when you're reading the Bible what details the Holy Ghost puts in the Bible. He didn't have to put this part in here that we're reading about these five kings that were hiding in a cave, but he chose to do so for our instruction and for our edification and learning. And surely there's a personal application that we can make. So what's happening here is, as we studied last week, Joshua has prayed that God will give him a long day so that he can continue to pursue his enemies. You remember these five kings have confederated themselves and gone against Gibeon. They have appealed to Joshua. He has come to their rescue, and he is chasing these armies in all directions. Now their kings go in a different direction, and they all, the five of them, go hide in a cave. And that's just like many kings and many generals, sadly, is they'll put the army out there to fight, and they'll go somewhere else. But anyway, what a miracle when the sun stood still, and their watches continued to turn, but the sun did not move for 24 hours, and it gave Joshua longer to pursue and to capture these thousands of enemy soldiers who were fleeing in all directions. And as the Bible says, there was never a day like it before or since when God answered such a prayer as that. So Joshua is continuing to deal with these five kings and their armies. The Bible says that these five kings who have led this expedition, and the leader was Adonai Zedek, the king of Jerusalem, they have hid themselves, and now the battle is over, and Joshua is about to deal with these five kings. Now, some people say, well, why didn't he just let them go? Why didn't he just say, well, we've defeated your armies, we're going to possess your lands, and let's just all sit down at the table and peacefully coexist. No, that would have been a very foolish decision to let these kings go. Because you know what they'd have done? The very next day they'd have got together and said that Joshua's humiliated us. He's embarrassed us. Let's go back. Let's regroup and let's hire the Egyptians to help us and let's drive Joshua out of here. They would have regrouped and they would have fought again. And of course, what this is saying to you and me is as we possess our promised land, as we conquer our enemies, the world, the flesh, the devil, and false religion, the four great enemies of every Christian in the world, let us be sure to be thorough as we deal with our enemies. If you do not deal with sin thoroughly, you know what will happen? You'll meet it again. If you let it go, if you don't crucify it, and Joshua had these kings, he had his captains trample on their necks, which was a common practice of humiliation and subjugation at that time. And then he killed them and hanged them on a tree, crucified them. He dealt with them thoroughly and put them to death, signifying that you and I, if we don't deal with something completely and thoroughly, then we'll have to face it again. Just like an old weed, you pull its head off and it's coming back. That's exactly right. If you don't deal with something, you heard about the fella, he turned on the water in his sink. And he just let it run, and the sink was full, and it started pouring out on the floor, and filled the floor in the restroom, and then out in the hallway, and down the hallway. You know what he did? He just grabbed the mop, and he started mopping the floor, mopping the... What he should have done was go and turn off the spigot. You can mop forever and never get ahead if you don't get it at its source. That's right. And that's what God's saying to you and me is when you deal with something, deal with it at the root. Yank it up by the root. Don't ask God to take away the cobweb. Ask God to kill the spider that's making the cobweb. A lot of times we're not very thorough. We're not very thorough. We say, Lord, forgive me of my anger problem. Okay, that's a start. How about asking God to get rid of it? Then you'll never have to confess it again. Amen. Ask God to deal with it. Trample on it, as it were. As these captains trampled under their feet these kings. Trampled. You say, I can't do that. No, you can't. But by God's help, you can. I'll tell you an amazing verse. Romans 16:20 says, the God of peace will bruise the devil under your feet shortly. Amen. That's right. That means God wants us to live in victory, not defeat. And your arch enemy, of course, is Satan. And by the power of God, you can trample on him. Amen. Jesus already defeated him. And we can defeat him as well. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Thank God. Who is he that overcometh? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ. And the word of God says we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says. So this is victory illustrated in these captains putting their feet on the necks of these kings. He dealt with the situation. There's no compromise. You don't compromise with an avowed enemy. That's what they said to Nehemiah. They said, come down from the wall. Let's meet. Let's talk. And Nehemiah knew they were up to no good. He said, leave me alone. I'm building the wall and you're a bunch of seducers and liars and I'm not wasting my time. Folks, the world is the world. They will never change. The world hated Jesus Christ. Religion hates the Bible and hates you. The devil's a liar, as he always was. He has not changed. So just keep that in mind and never compromise with your spiritual enemies. Victory is assured, second of all. Isn't it wonderful how Joshua says to his men, fear not, nor be dismayed, be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord, that's all capital letters, that means Jehovah, do to all your enemies against whom you fight. How encouraging. His men have got many battles ahead of them, and he encourages them and says, what you've just done, God's going to continue to do. You're going to have victory after victory after victory if you'll trust in the Lord and do your part. And I think it's wonderful to go into a battle or a victory or anything knowing ahead of time you've already won. Amen. And we're not laboring. We're not facing the enemy for victory as much as we are from victory. Amen. Jesus Christ has already defeated all of our enemies. And we've already read the last page and we know our side wins. So we may lose a battle here and there, but thank God the war is already won. Amen. Did you ever study when I studied the Revolutionary War? I took a group to Calpin, South Carolina, and I said, we lost here. We lost here. I said, but I want you to know something. There were battles before. There were battles after. We lost this battle, but we still won the war. And I said, it's good to walk where patriot blood has been shed. Every American ought to stop every once in a while and realize there's been millions of people who suffered and served and sacrificed and died so that we could have victory tonight. Amen. That's right. So if you've had a bad day and the devil's beat you black and blue, then you just go to bed tonight and say, Lord, I lost the battle, but I've already won the war. And thank God tomorrow is a new day. Amen. So victory is assured. Every victory is a pledge of more to come, isn't it? And they that are with us are more than they that be with them. And so, having promised them victory, they go out to fight and conquer more cities and towns and kings. Because when it's all done, they're going to get together and Joshua's going to say, all right, this tribe, you get to live there. And this tribe, You get to live there, and he's going to divide. They're going to possess this whole land. So it's not just about defeating an enemy for no purpose, but they're looking at it long range. This is where they're going to live for the next 3,500 years. Amen. They're still there tonight. So victory is experienced. We don't have time to read all these verses, but here's many, many battles. Joshua fights Makeda, Libna, Lachish, verse 31, Eglon, Hebron, Debir, on and on. Joshua smote all the country of the hills and of the south and of the vale and of the springs and all their kings. He left none remaining. He smote them from Kadesh Barnea, that's at the south, even unto Gaza, all the country of Goshen, even unto Gibeon. All these kings, their lands did Joshua take. Joshua returns to Gilgal. It didn't take long to say that, but that was some hard fighting right there. And Joshua and his army didn't just stay in the tents, and God didn't do it all. No, you can't do God's part, but he's not going to do your part. I guarantee you, you're not going to lay in the bed and say, Lord, I'm going to take a nap. You go out there and fight all my battles today. No, sir. That won't happen. You'll have to get up, read your Bible, and pray and say, Lord, will you please help me today? Would you please help me to have the right attitude? Would you please help me whenever I face the next temptation to be able to say no immediately and go on my way and win the battles with the spiritual weapons in the spiritual warfare and cast down all those imaginations that rise up against me and try to hinder me and help me to live as a Christian? Amen. It's going to take your part. Amen. Just like Joshua had to do his part. So they experience one victory after another, and they take the whole central part of the nation and the southern part of the nation as well, just like God promised, in a mighty display of the power of God. So let me say a word about courage, and I'll be done tonight. You can't read the book of Joshua without seeing courage on every page. This is still hand-to-hand combat, folks. This is not modern warfare. This is hand-to-hand combat. And Joshua's putting all these enemies under his feet, just like God's putting our enemies under our feet, spiritually speaking. God has never used a coward. As the old song says, a coward in the service, he'll find no place. And what gives you courage is when you know you're right with God, when you know you're in the will of God, then you can face anything and leave the consequences with the Lord. God may work supernaturally for you. He may not. That's what the Hebrew children said to the king, wasn't it? We're not bowing to you. And you can throw us in the fire. And God might deliver us, and we might die today. Either way, God's will be done, but we're not bowing down to you. That's courage. Doing the right thing, whatever it costs. Even unto death. Is that courage or what is that? Daniel was probably 90 years old when they threw him in the den of lions. He'd already outlived the whole Babylonian Empire. Now it's the time of the Medes and the Persians. But he was going to pray anyway. And he didn't know that God was going to send an angel and shut the mouths of those lions. As far as he knew, he would die that night. But he had the courage of conviction. He knew he was doing the right thing. Did you hear that? When you know that you're doing the right thing, thank God you can face anything. And when you don't know you're doing the right thing, you're scared of your own shadow. That's just the difference. When you know in your heart you're doing the right thing. That's how all the martyrs could die with such faith, so fearless, so brave, by the tens of millions of Christian martyrs. I said by the tens of millions of Christian martyrs. They died at the stake because they knew that they were right, that they were dying for the truth and sealing their testimony with their blood. And many times their own wives and children were standing out in the crowd encouraging them to do the right thing. Hallelujah. Why else would you be willing to suffer and die for something unless you knew it was right? That gives courage when your cause is just and right. God's people have always been a courageous people. Years ago, when a new emperor came to the throne, he required all the Christians to renounce their Christianity or be fired. Well, most of them said, I'm not going to renounce my faith. I'll lose my employment. I'll lose my life if necessary. Surprisingly, that this emperor, after that, after firing the ones who wouldn't renounce, he fired the ones who did renounce. Then he said, all you real Christians out there that wouldn't deny your faith, I want you back. I was just getting rid of the hypocrites. He said, them people that wouldn't be true to Christ, they won't be true to me either. That was wise, wasn't it? Courage is a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing. Let me quote one of the great Baptist preachers, W.B. Riley, as a courageous man. He said, courage is a moral and honorable virtue that lends a glory and splendor to the life in which it dwells. The history of the brave is written in letters of gold. Lady Douglas defending her king from assassin, Horatius at the bridge, the Light Brigade at Ballyclava, Florence Nightingale facing fever in the hospitals, young men, maidens, old men, fighting, suffering, achieving, resisting, enduring, daring, living, dying. It's the spark of heroism that kindles their names into the blaze of light. Courage is an honorable virtue. W.B. Riley said further, from the land of the Scots have come many tales of courage, and of them there stands out the one of the beloved Robert Bruce, who willed his heart to his friend Douglas. Bruce's heart was placed in a silver casket, and Douglas bound it over his own and started to fulfill the wishes of his great commander. In the course of battle, he was wounded unto death and saw his men wavering, but with a mighty effort, he flung the heart of Bruce into the ranks of the enemy, and the Scots went fighting their way after it till the victory was won. And yet, in the pierced heart of the Son of God, there ought to be a more potent appeal to the hearts of His followers. No obstacle ought to be too great for the Christian to conquer. No enemy too fierce to face without tremor till the kingdom comes and the cause of our God triumphs. Arm these Thy soldiers, mighty Lord, with shield of faith and spirit's sword. Forth to the battle may they go and boldly fight against the foe. With banner of the cross unfurled and by it overcome the world. And so at last receive from Thee the palm and crown of victory. Amen. What he's trying to say is that Christians ought to be a courageous people. Amen. Not scared, fearful, pouting, doubting, and do withouting, that just is not how Christians live. Joshua was a man of courage, wasn't he? Fought all these battles and won every one of them. And as far as we know, didn't lose a single man. Incredible, isn't it? And I forgot to point out last week that God got involved and was throwing hailstones out of heaven. And God's such a good aim, He never hit a Jew. You explain that to your agnostic professor. Amen. That's in the Bible. You can read it for yourself. God's a good aim. Amen. If He wants to hit you with a hailstone, He'll hit you. And you stand up against His book and his people, you ask him for trouble. You set yourself up against the Jews, you're going to fall. I don't care if you're Hamas or who you are. The PA, the Palestinian Authority, or who you are. You can't fight against God and win and his people and his book. Last of all, the dying words of a soldier dying on the field of battle. He said to his friend who was holding his hand in those last moments, he said, "Goodbye, comrade. I am indeed going to be with Jesus." Gazing around, he said, "Farewell, marches and trenches. Farewell, fields of battle. Farewell, comrade in Christ Jesus. Farewell." And in a few moments, he was with the Lord. So until we say farewell to all these battles that we're fighting, may God find us faithful. Be a friend to your friends. Be an enemy to your enemies. Don't be a friend to your enemies. Don't be an enemy to your friends. Amen? That's exactly right. I've seen people become an enemy to their friends. Don't be an enemy to your friends. Amen? We're in this together. You're going to have enough people kicking you, lying about you. So we need each other in this warfare. Joshua was one. He had 50,000 men behind him. He didn't do it by himself. But God was on his side. Amen. A lot of different lessons there. God bless you.